down the middle into double coverage. Ford made the catch. Touchdown, Virginia Tech Hokies. Evans and Ford beat double coverage for a 3-touchdown lead.
Wes McElroy, John Lazor, every Wednesday at this time, the voice of Virginia Tech, as you heard there, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. And the case was for the Hokies. They held on to the ball, and we got to see what that offense could do. We bring on John Lazor, joining us now from Blacksburg. We wonder what the offense could look like, and I guess we actually kind of saw what we've been imagining here for the past offseason and the previous 2 weeks, Laze.
Yeah, we did, and good morning, buddy. But you know what's funny about that highlight that you just played is that's the play that Justin Fuente held up to me both publicly and privately as one where he felt Gerard Evans could improve, and then we kind of saw Evans maybe after that film session yesterday talk about improvement of his own, and we asked, what could you improve upon? He said, well, that double coverage throw for one, I guess I wasn't supposed to make that. So it's good that you're nitpicking at this point and not just looking at a whole-scale issue like ball security like the Hokies were last week, because we definitely saw the potency and the capability of that offense against Boston College, a very solid defense that the Hokies kind of ripped apart.
Yeah, and as far as Evans goes, he kind of knew that was coming because he said to us post-game, he's like, yep, I think I'm going to hear about that one in the post-game and the old film session. But for what he did, let's start there with Evans, who seemed to show Lays that he's got quite the grasp of this offense.
Yeah, he does, and I think that's the thing. I've been asked a few times this week, Wes, what's been the most impressive thing about Evans, and all the physical attributes are, although you really haven't had to see him under a ton of duress yet and what he's able to do with his legs, but I've been exceptionally impressed with him in the pass game because I didn't think you saw that a ton during camp while the competition was going on actively at quarterback. It didn't seem like he was locked in, and that's where my concern was going into the season. All right, how precise is he going to be able to be? Because you knew this offense was an offense that was predicated on a number of those types of things, but he's been great, and I think his decision-making has been very sound. I think he's done a nice job scanning the entire field. He hasn't gotten locked in on Isaiah Ford or Cam Phillips or Bucky Hodges. He's spread the football. He's run the system, in other words, and allowed the system to work, and that's the strength of this team more so than individual players, is that system and is that creativity from Brad Cornelson and Justin Fuentes. So I've been impressed with him there. I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't. Of course, there are some things to nitpick, but again, that's fine after 3 weeks of the season.
I think it's a great point you make, because while there is that chemistry, and that was the highlight of Saturday's game, is him and Ford, he hasn't been locked in. He hasn't been locked in on a single guy. And I think that there was maybe a misconception about this offense that people thought it would be more air raid-like, it would be passing. It's very balanced. And I think some people were almost caught off guard by, like, hey, they run that much in this offense? And it's like, yeah, this is what that offense is supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And Justin Fuente was adamant about that from the day he got to Blacksburg. And I think people just sometimes want to hear what they want to hear, and they want to see what they haven't seen in a while, which is that air raid style offense. But it's a stat that rings true, and that is that Memphis's offense under Justin Fuente actually ran the football more than they threw it. And I think you're starting to see that with Virginia Tech. I think that these are very smart football coaches, Wes. He's also said, we're not going to light up the scoreboard at the expense of the defense or in time of possession. And the Hokies have done an exceptional job possessing the football to this point in the season too, and not exhausting that defense. And you can see the energy on the other side. But absolutely, if the box is stacked, they're going to throw it. If it's not, they're going to run it. And that's what good offenses do. They don't get married to one concept or another, and they're flexible and they're open and they have options. And that's where this offense is. I know I'm getting ahead of things because it's only been a week. People want to say 49-0, but I'll go back and make the counter argument that I've been impressed with this offense all three of their games thus far, because I think you look at some of the aberrational fumbles and turnovers and things like that. Without those, I think it's three games in a row that they have to build upon where they've executed at least three quarters of what they've been trying to do.
And now you wait to see if there's consistency against East Carolina. We'll dive into that. But one other note, what's been added to this offense, and you saw that late in this game where the game went on, now you add another person in there. It was good to see Marshawn Williams back.
It really was, and you know, he had to kick some rust off, and just noticing in practice yesterday with Marshawn, you can just see that there's another element of confidence in him in the fact that he's gotten back out on the field. You saw the raw talent, and you saw his just abilities in terms of getting back out there and what a physical specimen he can be when he's right. And then I think yesterday at practice, Wes, I saw for the first time a guy that felt like he belonged back out there, and it's amazing what a number of carries can do in live game action. and that's what Marshawn was able to get because the game was so out of hand against Boston College. And you're right, it's just another added element. And I was discussing this yesterday with Justin, and we were talking about the loss of Deshaun McLeese, which I think is larger than people recognize, and some people that hadn't seen a ton of McLeese because practice has been closed and there had only been very limited game action against Liberty didn't realize how big a part of the plan he was going to be, but those of us behind the scenes had. So that was a loss, and you replace that loss with another aspect, because this offense, again, is not about individual components so much as it is making defenses defend multiple aspects. So it's not apples to apples in terms of Williams replacing McLeese, because they're completely different style backs, but it's a numeral thing in terms of the number of aspects you have. You lose McLeese, you plug in Williams, and it's still that multiple attack that you're looking for.
He's John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Virginia Tech coming off that 49-0 win against Boston College. And I Boston College probably has the worst offense in the league, but a shutout is still a shutout. And now what you want to see is the test will get tougher, because you look at East Carolina, and last week, man, they shot themselves in the foot with turnover after turnover. But I'm looking at this matchup, and I don't know if it's the same way for you, Lays. Does this matchup, does this game feel like it's going to be the Virginia Tech secondary against East Carolina wide receivers?
Yeah, it does, but in a completely different way, Wes. And you're right about Boston College, despite the fact that they're a little bit better. We didn't see it on Saturday, obviously, give a lot of that credit to the defense and Bud Foster, but they are. However, they're so much more traditional, and that's right into the wheelhouse for Bud Foster and what he does defensively and what he's been comfortable doing defensively for decades here. And I wasn't surprised at all that he was able to shut them down schematically. But now you go to an offense that is much more diversified. You're going to get wildcat looks. They've got personnel and James Summers, who came in and really out of nowhere carved you up last year, a guy that only had a handful of snaps coming into that game, and then after a rough start for their starting quarterback, took over and decimated you to the point where you lost the football game. So there's so many more facets that you have to defend against, and this has been the type of offense that has given the Hokies problems. So I know they're looking at that as a challenge, and I thought it was very interesting yesterday. The message coming from practice that I took away, Wes, was not necessarily this we're the underdog and all those things, but it was, aren't you offended that people don't think that you can play different styles and put together back-to-back or consistent performances, or they thought that that win over Boston College was a fluke? And I think that rings true, because I think this is a team that needs to, again, for the first time in a few years, showcase that they can play different styles and different type of opponents and continue to make it about themselves. And that's what the Hokies' focus will be this week against East Carolina. Certainly, there's some revenge aspect to it, but although so many of the characters have changed.
Yep, including both head coaches. We'll have more on this matchup, including another high, and we'll get to another high-scoring game, or it looks to be high-scoring game in the ACC, and there'll be a lightning round as John Lazor, the voice of Virginia Tech, joining us here as he gets ready. 11 a.m. coverage begins on Saturday, Virginia Tech, East Carolina, right here on Fox Sports 910. More with Lays, brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910. I goofed this up. I said I would do it like 5 minutes ago, so let's do it now. Caller number four right now at 345-0910. You will get tickets to go see Virginia Tech, East Carolina. Pair of tickets, Virginia Tech, East Carolina. Caller number four at 345-0910. Since it's game number four of the Hokie season, 345-0910. John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, joining us. It's been a nice way to go in the bye week, man. That would set you up. And it's kind of how we looked at the schedule. I looked at the schedule and said, Liberty, that's one side of the spectrum. Tennessee, the other. But how do they do against Boston College and East Carolina? How do they look on track? And then, to use a NASCAR comparison, you get this pit stop at the end of September. Bye week sets up really good.
Yeah, it does, provided you win this football game, and that's why there's so much emphasis on it. I don't know if that's internal or external, but it's exactly the way that you looked at the season needing to go coming in, and you don't want to excuse the way you played in the battle at Bristol, but you definitely were willing, when you just looked at it on paper coming into the season, to excuse a would-be loss to Tennessee that has now happened, and responding the way you did against Boston College. If you can string that together with a strong performance against East Carolina this week, then certainly you're going to have a ton of time to prepare and a ton of confidence going into a huge one against North Carolina. We, of course, have the luxury of looking ahead to that, and the team obviously does not.
We can look ahead, and the other thing to look ahead to is the ACC Coastal schedule, which will then begin after the bye, and it's North Carolina. But if you're kind of looking at something else this weekend, that Pitt-North Carolina game should be very interesting, because both teams right now are jacking up some points, and both teams don't have a whole lot of defense going on.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year in the Coastal Division, Wes. I really think that's true. And you're right. The Hokies do have a scheduling advantage in the fact that, once again, they don't have the strength of the crossover. They don't have Louisville, Clemson, or Florida State on their schedule this year. And the other would-be competitors, at least the teams that you think will be competitors in the Coastal Division, do. So you look at that as an advantage. And of course, the way the schedule plays out, I think it is an advantage as well. I was talking to a couple of the guys on the sidelines yesterday, and we were chatting about maybe it would be a little bit better if you could play your first true road game at Syracuse rather than North Carolina. But like we were doing with Gerard Evans, that's just nitpicking at this point. I think it's still fairly favorable road you have ahead, again, provided that you play well this weekend.
Yep.
And that's certainly not something that we've seen consistently week to week to week, although this is a brand new program as we're learning.
Let's get to it. Lightning Round with John Laser, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Five questions from him, five questions from me. You go first, sir.
Giants won last night, Wes, but they're in free fall, clearly. Is there anything more painful in sports than having to watch the everyday slow drain of losing an extended baseball lead?
I will say no, because my father has watched the Phillies win two World Series in his lifetime, and he is still complaining about the collapse of 1964. Answer, no. Next. We were discussing this earlier. TV shows that have gone from movies into TV shows. There haven't been many. Tonight you get Lethal Weapon debuting. Name me a movie that worked out well as a TV show.
I've got a couple for you, but the biggest one that popped right into my mind was Weird Science. That was an outstanding sitcom show with an even prettier girl that was created in a lab back in the mid-90s. I thought that did well. MASH was another one. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There you go.
My consortium feels as though is the greatest of all time. Next. Wes, I just can't seem to get into the NFL yet this year. I don't know if it's just me or has the NFL taken its fan base for granted for too long to the point of alienation.
This is an interesting topic because you're not the only one, it looks like, because the ratings down 2 weeks in a row. The ratings are down across the board for the NFL, including a 20% drop on Sunday Night Football, which had a pretty good game with Aaron Rodgers. You're not the only one who's having a tough time getting back into the league. Next. What's it say about baseball that Tim Tebow's jersey is currently the third highest seller?
I think it says more about society than it does about baseball and what people are desperate for in terms of Tim Tebow and what they feel as though he represents in their life. I think I could take the entire show this morning, Wes, and expand that out to my belief as to why that's the case, but really I don't think it says anything about a lack of baseball stars or a lack of people. I think it just has to do with people yearning for something that, I'm sorry, people, this is never going to come to fruition. Next. Kiefer's coming back to TV tonight, buddy. Lone Survivor debuts tonight. Seems like he picked a good project. Are you as pumped as I am for the patriarch of 24's return?
You know how excited I am, Lays? I'm staying up till 11 o'clock tonight. This is 11 o'clock. This is 11 o'clock worthy, because bedtime's usually between 10 and 10:30. But yeah, out of all the new TV shows, this is what I want to see. So I will eat that lack of sleep. I'm staying up till 11 tonight. This looks good. One final one for Laser. Because after quite the discussion last week, and I was asked about it in Richmond, I was asked about it in Blacksburg over the weekend. John Laser, did you buy your girlfriend a dog for her birthday?
No, I did not.
No!
However, I did buy her a birthday cake that I inscribed with the name of the hypothetical dog, saying, "Happy birthday, Renee, love pillow," which is what I was going to name that dog. We're going to get there, buddy. It's just not a good situation in our apartment that we live in right now in Blacksburg. We had to have no place to walk him or her.
Don't give out hope. Listen to you this Saturday.
I haven't. It'll happen. It just didn't happen last week. I was a little busy with week three of the football season.
He's making things happen. John Laser on the call with Mike Burnup, Andrew Allegretta, Willie Byrne. Talk to you later, buddy.
See you.
It's John Laser, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Don't give up hope. I'm not giving up hope on the puppy. Don't give up hope on the dog.